Today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Hey. So we got to the last line of Kuf Mem Dalad Mem Beis. The Gemara had been talking about the inyan of sochet, squeezing liquid from a fruit, from a food, into other food. A distinction between squeezing it into liquid, into a bowl where it turns into liquid, or squeezing it into food where it remains the status of food itself. So Gemara says, last line of, again, Kuf Mem Dalad Mem Beis, Mesiv Ravina. Ravina asks the question, Tamei Meis Shesochat Zeisim Vanavim. You have a person who's Tamei Meis, he's squeezing out grapes and olives. Kibetza, if the size of the grape or the size of a kezias, of an olive, is the size of a kibetza, Mechuvenis, exactly a kibetza, that's Tahor. The din is that only a size of a kibetza is a metame ochel. If it's less than a kibetza, that cannot become Tamei. So the size of a beitza, the size of an egg. If it's less than that, it can't become tame. So in order for it to become tame, it has to be that size of a kibetza.
What size?
The size of an olive. The food that's becoming tame has to be the size of an egg. So the din is kibetza mechuvenes. If it's exactly kibetza mechuvenes, that olive or that grape, so then if you squeeze it out, the liquid will certainly be less than a kibetza, and therefore it would be tahor. But hayosimi kibetza, if the olive or the grape is larger than the kibetza, then the juice you squeeze out could possibly be a beitza itself, the size of beitza, and would be tamei. So the Gemara says, hayosimi kibetza, it would be tamei. So now the Gemara at this stage thinks you're squeezing the olive oil, you're squeezing the grape juice into food, not into liquid, you're squeezing it into food. So the Gemara says, if I'm squeezing a grape into food, I'm squeezing an olive into food, e amris mashka, habala ochel is ochelhu. If liquid that goes into food remains food itself, b'may is kasher, with what will the food become mashke, hochshar? We said in order for food to become tame, has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids first. Now, if the liquid that's coming into contact with the food gets absorbed in the food, that becomes food itself. There is no liquid to even speak of that's machshir the food. So Gemara says, hu mosivla, hu mefarikla. He asks the question, he answers the question, he ends up answering, b'sochet l'soch hakara. We're not talking about where he's squeezing it onto food. You're right. If you squeeze it onto food, that liquid immediately becomes food itself, and there's nothing to be machshir the food. But we're talking about where he squeezes it into a bowl, not food, bowl, so it becomes a liquid, and then, since it's in the state of being a liquid, liquid itself can become tamei from the tamei maze. So Gemara now says, four lines down on kuf memhei, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya b'kitanai. It's really a machlokas tonight, what we discussed about, the content of liquid going into food, whether that retains the status of food, or is that considered mashke? So Gemara says, what's the machlokas? Hamachlik banavim. What's machlik banavim? Rashi explained, if you have a baker that wants to rub the outside of bread, usually you rub egg on the outside to make it a little brown and shinier, but let's say he wants to use grape juice to shine the outside of the bread. So if you squeeze machlik banavim, you cover the bread with some type of grape juice, the din is lo huchsha. That's not machshir the bread. Rabbi Huda says, omer mo huchsha, it is. Even though you're putting the grape juice onto bread, that's still considered mashke. So my lav b'hak mifli, are they not arguing about the following, that mar savar mashke, habala ochel ochel? When you squeeze grape juice onto the bread, it's really considered ochel bread, and it's not machshir the bread. And mar savar lav ochelu, it's not. And when you squeeze liquid into bread, it still remains a liquid, a mashke, and it would be machshir the bread. So this is really machlokes, what we've been discussing up until now, about liquid into food, being food or not food, it's really a machlokas tonight.
The bread has water before you bake.
Yeah, but it's not for that time, it's not considered food yet. Only after it's made food.
Even a bread is not...
Correct, it needs to come in liquid after it becomes food, exactly. So Amar Papa, Rapapa says, D'chuli Alma, everybody agrees, Mashke ba le'ochel, lav ochel, not true. Everybody agrees when you squeeze liquid into food, it actually becomes food. Right? It's not food. Lav ochel, it's not food. It's actually liquid. It's considered mashke. And hacha, what's machlokas here by machlik banavim? Hacha be mashke habal li'ibud kimifugi. When you squeeze liquid out, which ends up beginning to be lost, destroyed, because Rashi explains when you end up baking the challah, baking the bread, it ends up being liquid, it gets burnt up, so it really goes li'ibud, so that's the machlokis here. So the Gemara says again that, hacha b'mashke abal li'ibud kamiflagi, mar savar mashkehu, umar savar la mashku. Nothing to do with, again, mashke habal ochel. That's not ochel according to all opinions. It's rather a question of ba le'ibud is the machlokas. So the Gemara says, Bipluksa dahani tenai. So it's really the machlokas by machlik anavim is really does parallel a different or similar machlokas, but different machlokas. Disanya hamafze bezesim. A person wants to squeeze olives biadai musuavos with dirty hands, with tummy hands. So anyway, he squeezes it. We'll see why he squeezes it in a second. It's going to make a difference. But he squeezes, he softens the olives with dirty hands. Huchshar, the olive oil that comes out is machshir the olives. Why is it machshir the olives? Because you want that olive oil that comes out. Rashi explains that when you soften the olive, that you want the oil to be on the outside because it actually gives it more flavor. So you squeeze olives, it gives it a little more flavor. You want the mashke. That mashke is actually machshir the olive. If, however, your intention is lesofsa bimelech lohuchsha. Let's say I want to squeeze the olive oil, not because I want to give it flavor. I want to salt it. Problem is, when you salt some things, the salt falls right off. So if I make it a little bit liquidy, the salt's going to now attach itself. It's going to stick to the olive. So I'm not squeezing the olive oil out for the olive oil itself. I'm just using it in order for the salt to stick to it. In that case, I don't really want the liquid. That's lohuchsha. That's not machshir, the olives. If, however, I'm squeezing the olives to test out leida im hagia zesav limsok im lav, if you want to test whether or not the olives are ripe enough, so you can start pressing it. So you squeeze a little bit of the olive. Oh, you see there's enough oil, or you see maybe it's not enough oil. You have to let it ripe a little bit further. That's to test out the waters. So there the Gemara says is a machlokas, whether that mashke is going to be huchsha or not. So the Gemara says, again, im higiu li zesav limasak im lav lo huchsha. That olive oil is simply to test out the zayis itself. That's not machshir, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer Huchsha, he does think that olive oil in this last case would be machshir olive. What's the machlokas? My lav b'hokim miflagi. The mar savar mashke ha'omer li'ibud mashku. Umar savar lav mashku. The olive oil that comes out, you don't plan to keep. It just drips off. You're not really interested in it staying on the olives, not for flavor, not to salt the olive, simply to test it out, and the olive oil just goes onto the floor. So that's a case of li'ibud. And we see it's a machlokas tanaim, whether haba mashke ome li'ibud is mashke or it's not mashke. So that's the same exact machlokas we said above with respect to machlik banavim. So comes along Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, no. Breder of Yeshua, honey tanai, the first machlokas about machlik anavim, about covering up the bread with grape juice, that's b'mashke ha'omed li'ibud. That's a case of if it goes to Ibud, that's the machlokas we saw above. But Hanach Tanai, the second machlokas about mafza bezesim, about softening the zesim, the case of mafza zesim, that's the machlokas about li'ibud. But the machlokas about machlik, the first machlokas about machlik, is not a question of going li'ibud. That's Hanach Tanai b'mashke homed l'tachtachev kimifligi, where it's coming to shine the olive, so it's not going to loss. You want to use it for the way, the appearance, it gives a shiny look to it. That's a different machlokas, whether or not that's going to be considered mashke or ocho. So there's two different machlokasim, whether this would be mashke or not mashke. So Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Chia, Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Sochet adam eshkol shel anavim, a person could squeeze a cluster of grapes, l'soch akteir, inside a pot of food. That's allowed because we said haba l'ochel is considered ochel. Aval lo l'toch ha'ka'ara, but if you're putting it into a bowl and there's no food there, it just collects the grape juice, that would be an iser derais chayv chatas. However, dag l'tzira, if you're squeezing fish for the fish brine, afilo toch ha'ka'ara, even in a bowl where there's no food there, that's actually mutter l'chadchila. Why is that mutter l'chadchila? So Rashi explains here, because since the brine that comes out is not really considered mashke, it's actually considered food. I guess the consistency is a little bit thicker. It's somewhere in the middle, it's not real liquid. So therefore, since it's ochel, that's not a problem of creating ochel from ochel, that's fine. So Gemara says, Yasir Rav Dimi v'kamer le'la shmaisa. Rav Dimi was once sitting down, he's learning this particular sugya. And he said, Amar le'abai, Abai says to Rav Dimi, Atun you, Mishmei de Rav, you learn that statement above about Dag Tziro is mutter. You quote from the statement of Rav, the Rav Masnisa, Rav taught that statement. V'lo kashlichu, you have no question, as we're about to see. Anan, however, we say Abai says we, Anan Mishmei de Shmuel, we learn Masnisa, we learn Shmuel was the author of that statement. And according to Shmuel, the kashalom, we have a kashya, with Shmuel really is the author of that statement. Why? Because me Amar Shmuel dag letziro afil toch kara. The Shmuel really allow a person to squeeze out fish brine lechachila into a bowl. V'ha itmer, don't we have a similar case? Kvashim shesachtam. Kvashim are pickled vegetables. It could be peppers, it could be pickles, or whatever you want to pickle. So kvashim shesachtam, you pickled, you squeeze out the juices, the vinegar, the wine from pickles. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Lugufan mutter, if you're trying to extract the juice because you want the pickle without the juice, that's completely mutter, because it's not really for the juice itself. If you're squeezing out because you want to get the juice to drink the juice, then lemei mehem, to the water of it, to the juices themselves, that's that what you want, that's pater val aser. You shouldn't do it, but it's only a dirabanan. That's all the sheet of Rav. If it's shlakos, shlakos is a food that's been cooked in water, so then the din is, he said, Rav says, bein legufan, bein lemei mehem, whether or not you want to squeeze out the liquid because you want the food itself, or you want the water itself, both those cases are mutter. That's Rav's shita. Shmuel Amar, echad kvashim, v'echad shlakos, whether or not it's pickled, or whether or not it's cooked, legufan mutter, if you want to remove the liquid because you just want the food, you don't want the liquid, that's mutter l'chachila, lemei mehem, pater val aser. If you're trying to extract the liquid of it, that would be pater val aser. So the question is, don't we say the din that the case of the tzir is considered the same exact thing as the shlakos? And by how come Shmuel would say by the dog, the tzir, it's mutter l'chachila, but by the shlakos we say it's pater aval aser? So we see that Shmuel is not consistent with himself. So the Gemara says, Amalei ha'olokim, it's some form of a shua, Eina rav lozar, your eye sees and you're not strange, according to the pasuk, in other words, you got something wrong here. Mipuma de Rabbi Yirmiyah Shmili. We heard the statement of the dog that Tziro is the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah heard it may Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera may Rav Chia Bar Ashi. Rav Achia Bar Ashi heard it may Rav. So you were incorrect by assuming that Shmuel said the statement. Shmuel did not say the statement. He did not say dog that Tziro afil tol kar. That was only Shmuel, Rav who allowed that. But Shmuel, Eina Chanami, Shmuel would say it's usher to squeeze out the fish brine from the fish itself. The Sfas Emes asks a question. He says, I don't understand. We have the concept that kavash kumavushal. Kavash means to pickle something. It has the same status as cooking something. How come here we see in this Gemara, this statement, that there's a difference between kavushim and shlakos? Shlakos means to cook. Don't we have kavash kumavushal? So Sfas Emes says, we don't always say kavash kumavushal agabi every single halacha. And he gives an example we have by dam, for example, blood. The Primogadim explains, a person eats dam, it's certainly usher to eat dam. If it's dam that's been cooked, you don't violate the issur of eating dam. But if it's dam that was kavush, that was pickled, you would. So we see there's a difference between a dam kavush versus dam mavushal. Similarly, they explain from the Magid of Ramnas Fas, Emma says, marur, if it's kavush versus bishal, is a distinction. If it's kavush, you could still have it. If it's mavushal, the marur is cooked, you can't have it. It's yat yot to the mitzvah of marur. So we have some cases, we don't say across the board that kavush is always mavushal. We do have some chilukim. So here as well, when it comes to lachzas chita, apparently there's a chiluk between shaluk, which is mavushal, to that of that which is kavush. So Gemara now says, we said a statement above, gufa, kavashim shesachtan. If you have pickles that you squeeze out, Amar Rav, we said before, again, repeating what we just said, Rav said, legufan mutter, if you're squeezing out the liquid because you don't want the liquid, you just want the pickle itself, the cucumber itself, that's mutter lechachidim. Limei mehem, if you want the juices, then pater val aser. If it's shlakos, if it's cooked vegetables, bein legufan and bein limei mehem mutter, then it's entirely mutter, regardless of why you're doing this. And Shmuel again said, echad zev, echad zev, legufan mutter, limei mehem pater val aser. That's Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan is yet a third shita. Rabbi Yochanan amar echad kvashim, v'echad shlakos, legufan mutter, limei mehem chayv chata. So he takes it one step further. If you're squeezing out because you want the food, you want to just remove the liquid, that's mutter l'chachila. If you're squeezing out because you want to get the liquid itself, that would actually result in a chayv chata. So these are three different opinions in this discussion of kvashim and shlakos. The Gemara now says, there's a following question we could ask. Meisivei, we have in the Braisa, Sochtan kvashim b'shabbos the tzarech Shabbos. A person squeezing out pickles on Shabbos for Shabbos, that's allowed. About lo the matzah Shabbos, but you can't do it for matzah Shabbos purposes. That's a violation of Achana. V'zeisim va'avanim lo yischot v'msachet chayv chatas. If you olives and grapes should not be done. If you do so, use a chayv chatas. So that first statement of sochtan kvashim lechachila on Shabbos mutzah lechachila. That's a question to all three opinions, the Gemara says. It's Kashya, the Rav, and Kashya, the Shmuel, in that it says that they said you cannot squeeze out kvashim for the meimeim. If it's kvashim, meimeim was pater val aser. This Brisa says you can l'chachila, mutter l'chachila, to squeeze them out. And it's a question to Rabbi Yochanan, who says there's a chiv chatas in doing so. So in other words, when you squeeze out kvashim for meimeim, the Brisa says mutter l'chachila, but Rav and Shmuel says pater val aser, Rabbi Yochanan says chiv chatas. So how could these three Amoraim argue on a clear brisa? So the Gemara says, each one answers to their own liking. Rav matarits latame, Shmuel matarits latame, Rabbi Yochanan matarits latame. Rav matarits latame, Rav interprets the Brisa to say, sochtin kvashim b'shabbos letzarech shabbos, aval lo l'motzei shabbos. So then he comes to qualify, when is that true? When could you squeeze them out? It's only when you want lagufa, when you want to eat the pickles themselves, and you're not interested in the juices. But aval, if you want lememeh, if you want the juices, that would be pater aval aser. And with respect to shlakos, he adds in cooked vegetables, bein lagufa and bein lememeh, mutter, as opposed to zeisim vavanim, lo yischot vim sachtan chayv chata. So those are the few words and lines he adds in to work well with the Brice Shmuel. Comes along, Mitaritz Latameh, he says, Kvashim b'Shabbos l'tzarech Shabbos, v'hu adin l'shlakos, he added in the cooking, because Shmuel was not mechalik between shlakos and kvashim, so he lumps together shlakos in that same discussion. B'med v'arim amurmen, he has the same distinction, l'gufan, that's when it's mutar l'chachila, about l'meimeyim, if it's for the juices you want, pater val aser, and as opposed to zeis and v'avanim, which is a whole other category, lo yischot v'msachat chayv chatas. And now comes along Rabbi Yochanan, a third interpretation of the Braisa. Rabbi Yochanan mitaritz l'tameh, sochtan kvashim l'tzarech ha-shabbos, aval lo l'matzei shabbos, echad kvashim, echad shlakos, it's the same halacha for both of them. B'med v'am amurim, when is it true? Legufan, that's when it would be usher, that's when it would be mutter to do so, aval l'mei mehem, for the liquids themselves, lo yischot v'msach, if you do, it's nasik kimit, has the same exact din as shesachat, zeis and vavanim, which would result in a chiv chata. So that's how they all interpret this brisa. So Gemara now says, last couple lines of the Amud here, Amar Rabbi Chir, Ba'ashi, Amar Rav, Davar Torah, Eino chayv ela adrichas zeisim vavanim bavad. In the end of the day, even though Rabbi Yochanan felt that there is a chiv chatas on squeezing pickles, the psak is and the accepted halacha is only when squeezing grapes and olives would result in a chiv chatas. Rashi explains the last Rashi in the page here. Davar Torah kolomer aser Torah malacha vidrichas zeisim vavanim hu davim malacha. That is the malacha. About shar drichas, other types of pressings or squeezings, lav or chayubachi, vlam lachaninu. It's not considered normal, it will be considered a shinoi of some sort, and will not result in the chiv chatas. It might be aser, but will not result in the chiv chatas. V'chein tani, the Beit Nashi, the Gemara says, davar Torah einu chayv ela al drichas zeisim vavanim bavadim. So that's one statement he said. Now we're going to go on a completely different topic, which is other statements he had said. V'ein aid mipi aid kasher ela la'edas isha bavad. And with respect to one aid, an aid mipi aid, one aid tells another aid, kasher la'edas isha. What's aidas isha? Rashi explains in the top of Amud Beis here, la'edas isha is lomar la'isha meis balech, to tell a woman that her husband died, da'kili be rabbanan mishum iguna. Because of aguna, to have two people testify that they saw the husband die is very challenging, and that woman could be left in aguna, so we're makel to allow even one aid to testify. And Mechol Mekadesh, says Rashi, adai to the rabbanan Mekadesh, v'afku rabbanan l'kedushin mine. Because all marriages are dependent on Chachamim's consent, so Chachamim have the ability to uproot a din derabanan, a kedushin, and therefore they can retroactively say she was never married in order to rely on one aid. Meaning, even though normally one aid is insufficient, there's a special kula that they said. Now, there are a number of places that indicate there's a special din that aid legabe aid echad, legabe aid is isha, is a din deraisa. Rashi clearly says aid echad by aid is isha is only midrabanan, but many places the Gemara indicate aid echad by isha is a din deraisa. So the note that says there's a chiluk. When is aid echad by an isha deraisa? When is it midrabanan? So the note that explains if the person themselves saw the death of the husband, that's an aid echad li isha, that's a din deraisa. If, however, the aid echad only heard from someone else, it already was from one person to the next person, that's already one step removed. That would only be a din derabanan, which is what Rashi is referring to. Aid, mipi aid, is a derabanan, but aid echad who saw that ain echanami would be a din deraisa. So let's go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Ibari lehu, aid mipi aid le'edis b'chor mahu. So now we're on the topic, aid mipi aid, would it work for a b'chor as well? Would this be effective? Which means what? If you look at Rashi, le'edis b'chor, two lines down, b'chor b'yad kohen, kishenitnu Yisrael lo, shalim. So I'm a Yisrael, let's say I gave my b'chor to the kohen, and the din is, ira lo bum, mum. A mum happened to a b'chor, which means if the b'chor is a tamim, the kohen has to bring it to the base of Mikdash and shecht it there and eat the part of the korbanos he's allowed to eat. If it gets a mum, he can eat it and shecht it in his backyard and it's fine. So he gave it to the kohen as a shalim, as a tamim. It got a mum. And kaimalan b'b'choros, we learn, nech shadu ne'koanim lehatil mum b'chor. Kohanim were suspect of putting mumim, cutting off legs and limbs and other things to make it a mum, so they shouldn't have to shtap it to the Beis HaMikdash. So we were very suspect of them doing things like that. They're not trusted to say, oh, a mum happened accidentally or just happened naturally. They need Edim to testify that they saw it happen and it wasn't the Kohen's doing. Vamrina, we say, Hasam the Isha Ksheir al Edazu. A woman could actually be one of the Edim to testify that Bechor got a mum naturally. So now, once we allow an Isha to testify, maybe there should be another Kula that maybe Ed Mipi Ed should also be effective for Edis Bechor. So what's the din? Asks the Mahu. So comes along Rav Ami, Asr, Rav Asi, Shari, said Machlokis. Amalei Rav Ami, Rav Asi, V'Tana, Ben Menashe. Don't we have a statement in the name of Ben Menashe? Ain Ed Mipi Ed Kasher, El Edis Isha Bilvad. Only by Edis Isha is Ed Mipi Ed allowed. Doesn't that imply that by Bechor it wouldn't work? So he says, Amar, no. Ema le'edus sha'isha k'sheira la bivad. It doesn't mean edus about a woman's status of being married. It means any edus where we accept women to testify, we allow AMP aid. So just like a woman could also actually testify about someone else's husband dying, so too a woman could testify about a Bechor, by extension, AMP aid would also work in both of those instances. That's one understanding. Rav Yemar, Achshir Eid Mipi Eid LeBechor, he allowed one to Eid Mipi Eid LeGabi Hilchos Bechor. So Karya Le Maremar, they would call Maremar, Maremar call Yemar Shari, he's the guy who Shari Bechor, he's the guy who permits Bechor, he's a Mako by Bechor. In the end of the day, even though they called him a Mako, Hilchos Eid Mipi Eid Karshir LeBechor, we would rely on one aid telling another aid that this mum came naturally, it wasn't the Kohen's doing. That's the bottom line of Halach LeMaisa. Back to our story now of schita and squeezing on Shabbos. We said in the Mishnah a couple days ago, chalas dvash. If you have these honeycombs and you want to press them on Shabbos, we had in the Mishnah, it was a machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer, where that's allowed. That the dinner and the Mishnah was, if these chalas dvash were already pressed before on Erev Shabbos, and then you allowed to continue to ooze out on Shabbos itself, Chachamim felt it was usher to eat that honey. He felt it was usher to do so, and Rabbi Eliezer felt it was permitted. Why was it usher for Chachamim? Because if you allow to have the honey, you might come to press it itself on Shabbos, so he was gozer not to have any of the honey that oozes out on Shabbos. But Rabbi Eliezer was not concerned, and he allowed one to have the honey that squeezed out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it quotes, Ki also Rav Hoshaya min Nahardah. Rav Hoshaya came from Nahardah, also of Aisi Masnisa Biyadeh, he brought, presented a braisa that he learned there. Zaysim Vavanim Shirishkan Me'erev Shabbos. If you have olives or grapes that were already pressed, the process started Erev Shabbos. Aviyatim Me'atman Asurim. And then it continued to press on its own through Shabbos, also to benefit from that liquid. However, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Matirin, they allow for this. So this is seemingly the same exact machlokas by the honey, that the process was started before Shabbos, so and it continues to ooze out on Shabbos, can you benefit from or not? That's machlokas Tanakama versus Rabbi Eliezer. The only difference here is we're talking about olives and grapes versus honey. And number two is we have Rabbi Eliezer along with Rabbi Shimon is in the corner that allows you to benefit from the liquid. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Gavra, Yisera Asad Lashminan. What's the chiddush here? We already know this from the Mishnah here in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel was. So you just tell me you're adding a Gavra, another person, that Rabbi Shimon stands in the same corner as Rabbi Eliezer. We don't need to have someone else stand in the corner. We know Rabbi Eliezer stands alone as fine, by himself just fine. What are you coming to add here? So Amar Le Abai says, Tuva Kamashalan. There's a big chiddush here. Because D, my Masnitz and Habi had the Mishnah alone. Hava, I mean, I would have thought maybe the din only applies to Dvash. You would Rabbi Eliezer be matir. Why? Because Hava Mina Hasam Hu Dimikara Ochla, Lavasova Ochla, honey is comes from honeycombs, which is solids and food. And even when it comes out, Dvash has the status of being food also. It's not so liquidy. It just slowly comes out. You take a honey, you know, thing and put it upside down, it slowly drips out. It's considered food. It's not considered mashka. So maybe food to food would be allowed. However, Aval Hacha, Dimikara Ochla, Lavasov Mashka by olives and grapes where it's food, and then you created a liquid. Maybe there, Rabbi Eliezer would say it's usher if you started the process beforehand. Kimash Milan, even by Zeis and Vavanavim, he would be Makel as well. So something very interesting comes out from this din here where we call Dvash Ochel. It's called food. So it's called an Ochel here. So the Tosfos Reed asks the question, as does the Rash Mishans in the Mishnah in Uksin, that we know one of the Shiva Mashkin, one of the seven liquids, is actually honey. So how could it be a Mashkin of one of the seven Mashkin if the Gemara here calls Dvash to be Ochel? So the answer that the Tosafot Rid says is there's a difference of defining liquid and solids with respect to halachas of schita and with respect to machshirin. Lagabe machshirin, dvash is considered mashke. But lagabe hilchos schita, dvash is considered a solid. So that's just an interesting thing. It comes up halacha lemaisa, there's a din that people don't really know. When you dip food into water or any of the seven mashkim, you're supposed to wash your hands beforehand. We do a karpas every Leil Seder. We don't do this the rest of the year. The Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to do it the rest of the year. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't know why people don't do this the rest of the year. The Gra even says you should say a bracha on such a netilas adayim. We don't assume that way, but if you're dipping an apple into honey, you should really wash your hands. If you're dipping cookies into milk, you should wash your hands before doing so. That's a din. So that being said, there's a discussion about honey. So let's say you cook crackers in honey and it gets congealed. Is that considered dipped in honey or not? You sometimes make, my wife will make something, my kids make something with honey in it. You bake something with honey in it. Will that be considered mashke? Would you have to dip your hands in? So that's a machlokas to our point here. The Maggid of Rav and Taz argue that if you make honey and make it on crackers and you bake it, if the honey is still liquidy, so some say that's considered liquid, you have to wash your hands beforehand. Others say, no, since the dvash is on top of crackers, it's considered mashke, habala ochel is ke'ochel dami, and you would not have to wash your hands. But either way, even though the Gemara calls dvash ochel here, legabe hilchos machshirin, hilchos tumah, dvash is considered a mashke. Fine, the new Mishnah tells us, some back to hilchos Shabbos stuff, Mishnah says, these are dinei bishul now. Bishul, I'm not sure why it's coming up here, but they were back to halachas of bishul. So the Mishnah says, kol shebam bechamin me'er Shabbos, Shorin also bechamin b'Shabbos. That which was cooked was in chamin, hot water, was cooked before Shabbos, was nispashel, so then you're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos because ain bishul achar bishul, there's no concept of cooking something twice. Once it's been cooked once, you can never cook it a second time. V'chol shalopa bechamin me'er Shabbos, that which was not cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to madichin also bechamin b'Shabbos. You can't soak it in hot water because that would cook it, but you could certainly wash it in hot water because that's not going to cook it. That's going to just add some warmth to it, but not cooking. With the exception of chutz mi meliach hayashen, yashan, with respect to some salted fish or the parentheses of dagim, meluchim, ketanim, or kolais ha'ispanim, which the article explains here, that's referring to Spanish mackerel. These are very sensitive and delicate fish that even if you just rub hot water on it, warm water, that itself would actually cook it. So normal foods, only soaking in hot water would cook it. Rubbing it with water wouldn't cook it. But these two types of fish, the soft, the salted fish, are very delicate. Even rubbing it would be usur to do so on Shabbos because that would actually cook it. So Gemara says, kigon mai. What's an example of something that... if you of soaking something, you want to soak some food that's already been cooked. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Safra, kagon tarnagolasa, through Rabbi Abba, apparently the chicken that he would make, the hen that Rabbi Abba would make, that would soak for many days after cooking it. That's whatever, that's how they make the food. They cook it, and then they soak in hot water for a number of days. That's the type of food item we're discussing here in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Safra, Rav Safra says further, Zimna chada iklois lahasam, he once visited to Eretz Israel. And v'ochle minei, and he fed him this dish, of Tarnagolosa, the Rebbe Abba, this famous dish Rebbe Abba would make of the hen soaking for a few days. V'lo Rebbe Abba, da'ashkin chamra, bartlasa tarfe, had he not, Rebbe Abba not served him some wine that was 3 years old, aged wine, it's nasa, he would have been very disgusted and almost would have threw up from it. It was such a disgusting dish, apparently. You needed the wine to somehow counter the taste or the effect of this Tarnagolasa that was soaking for a few days. You can imagine it could get pretty bad in bacteria. And so either way, he didn't seem to like this dish. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rayak Mikutach de Bavli. We're just talking about some other foods in different locations now. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Kutach was some dish that was made of wheat and cheese. So the Kutach that came from Bavel, he would spit out, just remembering the taste of it. He felt that it was so disgusting, he just spit from thinking about such a dish. Amar of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, V'leirik anan mitanagolosa the Rebbe Abba. But we should spit thinking about the disgusting fish, chicken rather, Rebbe Abba. V'od moreover, Amar Rav Gaza, Zimna Chada Iklois Lahasam. One time Rav Gaza visited this the place, that went to Eretz Yisrael. V'av this kutach de Bavli, they made him the kutach dish of Bavel. Shilumine kol briche marava, and everyone from Eretz Yisrael, everyone got sick, begged for that kutach. They felt it tasted so good. So they didn't find this so disgusting. So apparently there's some debate of what they found good with the different tastes. Bavel didn't like the chickens of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael didn't like the kutach of Bavel. But okay, that was an interesting debate. Who had better food? So the Gemara says, "V'chol shelo ba bechamin." Anything that was not cooked in food beforehand and was not cooked at all beforehand, it may not be soaked in water on Shabbos because that might actually cook it. So hadiach mai. Let's say a person took this Spanish mackerel before Shabbos and you rinsed it on Shabbos. What's the din if you actually rinsed it on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, "Don't do this." If you do the Mishnah, if you do it, we said hadachasan zugmi Gemara. This was the line of zugmar melachton. That finishes it. But let's say a guy did it anyway. He rubbed the Spanish mackerel in hot water. So Amar Rav Yosef, hey diach, chayv chatas. That's a malacha. That's a form of cooking, and you would be over a chatas. So Amar Mar Brei Ravina, ach ananami tanina. We also learn in the Mishnah, chutz mimaliach yashan, the kolyas ispanin, a type of salted fish, and the Spanish mackerel, shadachasan zuhi gemar malachtan, that it is a completion of malacha that certainly indicates it's a full bona fide malacha, and one would be chayv chatas. Shmamina, it results in a chayv chatas. So Yosef Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Asi Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan. They were sitting one time in front of Rabbi Yochanan learning. The Yosef Rabbi Yochanan would come and nam name Rabbi Yochanan was falling asleep. So we're going to an interesting agarata right now. So Amar Lei Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Asi. So while Rabbi Yochanan was dozing off, they were busy having a conversation with each other. And Mipnei, they asked the question, Mipnei Ma Ofos Shebebavel Shmeinim. How come the birds in Bavel, apparently they're very fat birds in Bavel. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Asi rather responds back, Kalech lemidbar aza ve'aracha shmeinim mehem. They're not that fat. I'll take you to a place in the midbar, and they're even fatter birds than those. So then he asks another question. Mipnei ma moadim shebebavel smechem. How come in Bavel they're so happy? They're such a great simcha. While in Eretz Yisrael it's a mediocre type of simcha, but in Bavel they're so elated on the moadim. Mipnei shehein aniim, because they're so poor. So the rest of the year they would have nothing to eat. But they'd save up on the moed, so there'd be so much surplus on the moed. That's why they were very happy, because it's a big contrast to the regular meals during the rest of the year. So then the Gemara says, Mipnei ma tamidei chachamim shebabavel mitzuyanim. How come they dress very nicely and fancy? The tamidei chachamim, the rabbis, they were dressed very fancy in Bavel. Lefi she'enam b'nei Torah. Very interesting Rashi here, understanding this Gemara here. She'enam b'nei Torah, Rashi says, kol kach l'chavdam k'mnei Eretz Yisrael. They weren't so learned as the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Machmas terasam mechavdam alson. Machmas levushem shenir chashuvim. In other words, in Bavel, since they were not so learned, they had to overcompensate and wear fancy clothing to give them the impression that they're very chashuv. That's why they dress fancy in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they're very confident in who they were. They knew their learning, and there's no need to wear fancy suits and fancy clothing to give off a false impression. But in Bavel, they needed to overcompensate, and therefore they were called mitzuyanim. They dressed fancy in Bavel. Then he asks another question. Why are people who worship Avodah Zarah so disgusting and tamei? Because they eat insects and other disgusting creatures, that makes them just dirty people. So Isar Behe Rabbi Yochanan, after hearing this conversation, Rabbi Yochanan woke up from his little nap. And he said, Amar Lahu, he says to them, Dardiki, Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe here. He said to his children, his students, Lo kach amarti lechem, did I not teach you already? And more lachachma achosiyat, you should say chachma like your sister, which means im baru lacha davar kachoscha. If you're so clear about the answer, like you know it's your sister, then she asur lacha omreo, that you know it's asur or whatever the content is, then you could say it. Im lav, if you're not so clear, lo tomreo. You guys have no idea what you're talking about. Giving these answers to why Bavel animals are fatter and why they're happier in Bavel and Tamil Chacham dressed in such a way, you don't know the answer. You're making some nice, interesting suggestions, but if you don't know it with certainty, don't give the answer. So Amri Leh, so they turned to the Rebbe and they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Le Molan Mar, Ezamen. Rebbe, you tell us what the answer is to all these questions then. So they went through one by one. Mipnei Ma Ofas Shebabavel Shmeinim. Why the birds above are very fat? Mipnei Shelo Galu, because they were never exiled. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk. So what's a pasuk? It says, Shanan Moav Menu'urav. There was a peace from when they were young. Vishoket Sheket. There was silence El Shemarav to those who watch it. Ubegola Lahalch. They didn't go to the Gola. And the rest of the pasuk, what you really need, the pasuk goes on to explain here. I'm just getting on the side here, 1 second here. Gola lo halach al kain amad tamo ba v'reicha lo namar. Since they didn't travel, they didn't get exiled, so the taste and smell remained with them. When a person goes into exile, I guess the schlepping, the walking, the exercise, the tircha, loses their flavor, loses the taste. But since Bavel, the birds of Bavel were never exiled, they remained in their location, they retained their fattiness. Then the Gemara says, "V'hacha minon degali." How do we know that the birds in Eretz Yisrael were exiled? How do you know they came from other places? So maybe they also remained in Eretz Yisrael, and you have to tell me why they became skinnier in the birds in Eretz Yisrael then. So he says, the Tanya, I'll tell you how I know the birds of Eretz Yisrael came from exile. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chamishim Ushtaim Shana Lo'avar Ish Yehuda. There were 52 years where no person passed through the area of Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael. Shinemar, it says, Al Heharim Esa B'chiva Nehi, on the mountains I will cry, Mi'ofa Shemaim Vad Behema Nadadu Halachu, from the birds and the animals were wandered and they were no longer. So Behema, B'gamatria Chamishim V'tartin Ahava, it's the Gematria 52. So you know that 52 years there were no birds and no animals in Eretz Yisrael. So now that there are birds, where they come from? They must have come from outside Eretz Yisrael, from Chutz Arts. So that tells us that there was Gullus that took place. They came from Gullus, and that's why they are skinnier. Tosis just felt the need on the top here. There's a very small Tosis on the page here. Behema Gematria is a smachta. It's not really a drasha. It's an smachta ba'almahu. The nun beis nafkalein belav Gematria. You don't really need a Gematria. And there's an interesting discussion whether or not you use Gematrias to prove halachas. Is Gematria considered one of the midos shator nejashis ben? Is it considered just a nice little parpar satara? So the Mishnah Avos says it's parpar satara. They're nice little things. They're not really, you can't build halacha on. But there's one example the Gemara says in a few places that Nazir is a Nazir for 30 days. Why? Because the Gematria Yihiyeh, it says Yihiyeh Nazir, Yihiyeh Kodesh rather, Yihiyeh is Gematria 30. That tells us that a Nazir is 30 days, a Stam Nazir is 30 days. But most people think that Gematria cannot be used to create halacha. It's simply a nice little thing, a nice little icing on the cake for Gematrias. The Gemara now says, Vayter, Amir Rabbi Yaakov, Amir Rabbi Yochanan, Kulan Chazru Chutz Mikulyas Ha'isbanim. All the different animals returned back to Eretz Yisrael, with one exception, the Spanish mackerel, which we spoke of before, which may be why we brought this Gemara here, that did not come back to Eretz Yisrael. Dama Rav, honey, madre de Bavel, mahadre maya, lein otam. The honey madre, the slopes of Bavel, returned water to Ein Etam, so apparently the water from Bavel, even the water, somehow came back to Eretz Yisrael, bringing all the fish back along with it. Baha'i came into Lo Shari Shidre, and since apparently the Spanish mackerel, the fish, the backbone is not very strong, Lo Matzi Salka wasn't able to make its way all the way over to Eretz Yisrael, so that was the one fish that was never able to return just for some technical problems. So, Mipnei Ma Moadim Sheba Bavel Smechem, going on this same line of questioning, so what was the reason why in Bavel the Moadim were so full of Simcha? So he said, Mipnei Shelo Hayu Ba'oso Klala, because they were not included in the klala that was given. The chesiv, it says in the pasuk, there's a pasuk that appears in Hosea, it says, Vishbati kol mesos, I'm going to rest, I'm going to put an end to all the mesos, all the sasam, chag of the chag, and chadshe rosh chodesh, v'shabasa v'chol mo'adah, I'm going to end all of it. That klala only referred to the mo'adim of Eretz Yisrael. But the mo'adim that took place in Babel, that was not b'chala klala, so they were able to retain the simcha that was always there. Uksiv, it says further, Chadshechem mo'adechem, sana nafshi hayo alay l'tarach, and your Rosh Chodashim, your Moadim, will be hated to me. And that was also, again, referring only to those of Eretz Yisrael. But Bavel were protected from such a curse. So what does it mean, my hayu alai the tarach, that when this pasuk had said that the Moadim will be a tircha, a burden for me, what's that in reference to? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo dayan li Yisrael shechotin lefana, is not sufficient. It's not enough that Klai Yisrael are cursing, rather sitting in front of me. That they're doing it so bad that they're making me have to think a little bit what type of gzera I should give them for their terrible sins. So they're really being matriach me so much in terms of all the avers that they're involved in. So then Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein lecha karegel regel, so basa boleshes litzipor. There is no regel that did not have a certain legion of soldiers come and enter into tzipori. V'amr Rabbi Chanina, ein lecha karegel regel shel ba l'tveria egmon v'kamton ubal zemora. There is never a regel that came where the officials didn't come tax collecting. It always happened on Yontif. So Rashi just points out interestingly. He says, not that they actually plan to collect tax on Yontif, it just always happened to be, when they're collecting taxes, not knowing our calendar, it always took place on Yontif. It wasn't their kavana, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu had orchestrated it in such a way where it would disrupt our enjoyment of the Yontif. This was part of the curse. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan answered the question, Mipnei ma tamid chachamim mishab Bavel mitzuyanim, how come in Bavel they dress so fancy, the rabbis there dress so fancy, the fish ainim b'nei makomim, because the tamid chachamim of Bavel did not grow up in Bavel, they came from elsewhere. And sometimes when a foreigner, an immigrant comes from elsewhere, they need to, again, overcompensate for something, they feel that they're lost, they feel like they're a foreigner, so they dress in a fancy way to kind of gain acceptance. So therefore, they had to dress differently. Damri Inchu, we have a statement, Bimasa Shemai, a person in your city, you know who you are, we grew up here, you know Ruvain who grew up in the city, he's familiar. But a guy who came, a foreigner, who came from elsewhere, below Masa, not from your city, Tosvai, he needs to wear clothing. He'll be recognized by his clothing, not by his name. So too in Bavel, it was the same thing. So then the Gemara says, we'll read a little bit further, Habam Yashish Yaakov Yatitz Uparach Yisrael. Those of Yaakov will come to be Yashish, will come uproot. We'll see what that means in just a second. And then it's going to cause the Yatitz to blossom and Parach, and it's going to be flowers of Am Yisrael. What does this mean? Tanya of Yosef, Elu Tamid Chachamin Shebabavel, Shosin Sitzin Uprachim the Torah. They make blossoms and flowers of Torah. We see that oftentimes throughout Shas, Bavel actually, we belittle the Talmidei Chacham of Bavel. We do have a few exceptions where it actually praises the accomplishments of Talmidei Chacham in Bavel. This is one of them where the learning in Bavel was very superior, and therefore made nice flowers and nice tzitzin and prachim. Then he says one more thing with Sebi Pnei Ma. What's the reason why Mibnei Ma Ovdei Chachamim Muzuhamim Shal Amdu Al Har Sinai? The reason why Ovdei Chachamim are Tamei, because they did not come to Har Sinai, they were not present, and we only lost the Tumah because Har Sinai. They weren't there, so they still have the Tumah. As he explains, Shebishah, Sheba Nachash Al Chava, when Nachash was born Chava, Hitabah Zuhuma, there was a terrible disgust and Tumah that penetrated into all mankind. Chava was the mother of every human, so every human had the Zuhuma from the Nachash. And Yisrael Shamdu Al Har Sinai, we stood at Har Sinai, Paskazuman, it ended our disgust. However, Ovdei Chachavim Shlo Amdu Al Har Sinai, the Goyim who were not there, Lo Paskazumas, and their Zuhuma didn't end, and they still continue to have that disgust. So Amrele Rav Acha Bre, the Rav Ashi, Garmai, what about Gerim? Gerimai, what about them? They were not present at Har Sinai. So do we say when a Goy is Megayer, he still has Zuma? No. Amrele, Avogav de Inu Lo Havi, even though they themselves were not there, Mazlayu Havi, their Mazel, their Neshama, was present, so they actually got cleansed in that way. Dichsev Es Asher Yeshinu Po, Imanu Omein Ayom, Lefnei Hashem Elkeinu, those who were there stood. This Asher Einenu Po, those who were not there, were also even there, the Neshamas were there. And then finally, Upligi de Ra'abra Barkanda, he argues, and although we had said above that the Zumasan remained forever until Har Sinai stopped Klai Yisrael, but for the Goyim it continues, he has a different understanding. He says, Ad Shlosha Doros. That Zumasan of Nachash only lasted for three generations. Lo Paska Zuma, Me'avosenu Avram, it didn't stop from the Aravos until a few generations. So Avram had that Zuhuma because holy is Yishmael. By the fact that Yishmael, that indicated there's still a Tumah. Yitzchak holy as Esav, Siyoset the Tumah. But Yaakov, Yid Bei Shvatim, Shul Haya Behen, Shemdofi, that's when the Zumasan stopped and there's no need to stand the Har Sinai for it to end. Okay, we'll stop here. So regarding tomorrow, I guess we'll be on our own.